This is episode 125 on July the 16th, 2015.
Set your photo apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for Tiny Shutter Podcast.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Tiny Shutter Podcast, where we talk about iPhone photography and other things. I'm Joseph Ferreira.
I'm Matt Hoffman.
I'm Mark Sadowski. I'm Mark Sadowski.
And joining us today is Maud Byrne.
I was waiting for my introduction.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, no, I was really just zoning out. Go ahead.
Boo!
I deserve that. I'll take it.
Yeah. Well, welcome, gentlemen, to another episode. Let's go around the room and ask people what they've been up to and all that jazz. All right, we'll start with you, Matt. How are you doing?
I am just wonderful.
Good. You've been shooting anything lately?
Yeah, I've been out city skyline stuff up in Cleveland.
On the lake.
Oh yeah, I've been out in my kayak on the lake too, taking pictures from my kayak.
That is sweet. I tell you what, it's to think of a body of water that big and not, you don't have like waves or anything like that.
It's weird. Yeah, not that day.
No.
But normally the lake is very wavy.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool. How are you doing, Mark?
Come to me last.
Okay. How are you doing, Maud?
I'm doing good.
Yeah?
Yep. Haven't been doing a ton of photography, but trying to get back into it with my iPhone. Trying to get out there and do just, if nothing else, some little macro work out in the yard.
Good deal. Yeah. I have been sort of recovering from being off taking care of the family. I went back to work this week and was starting to get back into the groove of things, but my sleep schedule was all messed up. But I have a bunch of photos of my little girl, and I try to get some with the other kids interacting. So most of my stuff has been domestic photography and trying to get cute situations that they're doing. They dote on the new baby, and so I try to capture those moments. But other than that, I've been sort of venturing back outside again, and I'm going to start delving into the nighttime photography with my iPhone and see what other stuff I can get. But yeah. All right, Mark, what you been up to?
No, come back to me in a second.
Hey, oh. Joe, question for you. What type of nighttime photography are you looking to do with your iPhone? Like star type of stuff or just
No. I'm too ADD for that. I went to one of the parks close by that has a fountain, and was taking pictures mainly of stuff that's lit, and it's mostly stuff that I can handheld hold. I'm not so much set up a tripod or anything, which mm-hmm. probably next time I go I'll bring a tripod with me. But I did video and some still shots, but then I think the majority of the work that I did was in the post-processing. I need to do the audio and get the pictures and audio together of how the step-by-step that I did in getting an image from start to finish down, which I'm going to do this weekend, and hopefully have up on our YouTube channel. I've been threatening to do that. So I'm going to do that this weekend and show that, but mainly just stuff I can handhold and do, but eventually I'll, you know, take the time to take out the tripod and see if I can get some stuff with slow shutter cam or another app like that.
It's if you haven't done much knife photography, it's an interesting difference to get into, just something with the lighting, especially if you're using like, you know, street lights and
right
lamps and stuff like that. It's just a whole different kind of feel to it. Something neat to try.
I'd like to get light trails of cars too. You know,
I've never done that. It's something I've always wanted to do too. And I can see the damn highway from my house. Sorry, excuse me.
Yeah,
I should try that.
I did it with my DSLR. I went downtown. We have a small downtown, so not a whole lot of vehicles are traveling downtown at certain mm-hmm. times of night. So it's good and bad in a way. It's good because typically you can get some classic night shots of an empty downtown, kind of eerie.
Yeah.
And then every once in a while you can get it to where a car is passing through. And that leaves for an interesting type of photograph. I think of the light trails with cars as more of noise pollution. But if you can time it just right, sometimes it adds for an interesting effect. So I'd like to do that with the iPhone and see if I can get, I don't know if the slow shutter cam would allow that to happen.
It absolutely would.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good.
Well that's a challenge.
Challenge accepted.
Right on.
So, Mark.
All right.
What you up to?
You had your time now. Let's go on. What's going on with you?
No, I apologize for that. There was too much noise going on in the background, and I didn't want that to overwhelm. Plus, the story that I'm about to tell you guys, I don't want my wife to hear. So,
does she not listen to the show?
She does not listen to this show or anything that I say. So yeah,
typical wife.
Yeah. So over the weekend, we had a birthday party for our niece. It's her side of the family. Her brother-in-law, my brother-in-law, her brother. Got to get that straight. My patient wears thin. With that side of the family, let's just say. I'm like not a big fan of her brother.
Oh.
her dad, totally cool. Brother, not so much. So anyway, his buddy was over there. Let's just call my brother-in-law Pablo Picasso. Okay, we'll just give him that name. So Pablo's buddy, Donatello, was there. And he's sporting his brand new iPhone 6 Plus.
Sweet.
It was pretty cool. And he was saying that he's a little miffed with the device because the screen is cracked. Now, I could relate to that because I, too, had cracked my screen because of just some stupid thing that I did by using my iPhone as a level and then just leaving it there and then banging on a wall and letting it drop to the hardwood floor. Totally my fault.
Yeah.
Even though it had a case, it was not a case that was designed to absorb impact. You know, and let's just say the S happened.
Yes.
So apparently he had a similar situation where he had a case on it and he was mad that the case didn't absorb the impact. And I tried to explain physics to him, but that but that went over his head. And he was just really, really mad at his phone. And he, instead of bringing it back, he wanted to just bring it to a gun alley and just use it as target practice. And then,
oh, that's smart.
It's extremely smart. So I proceed to inform him that all you need to do is get it fixed. And if you absolutely want to switch to the superior cameras, the superior phones of Android and Windows, then, you know, you can use this as a, you know, resale value because you get it fixed and you get, you know, it's
a chunk of change good, back, right?
Yeah, a good chunk of change. And let me just say, it's worth more than shooting it.
I was going to say, that's a waste of bullets.
And the lithium battery that's in there.
Yes.
Which I believe breaks some laws in the state of New Hampshire and Massachusetts. But I digress. Anyway, so he's still all mad at it. I'm like, all right, what size phone do you have? He's like, I have the Plus. I'm like, I can see that. But I mean, what's the hard drive size? And he's like, I have the 128. I'm like, that's really good because you could get, you know, he said he went through T-Mobile and you have to basically pay outright. It's a lot of money when you pay it outright. And then he said, I could have got the terabyte version. And that's when I lost my patience. The thread that I was holding on to for this entire moment just snapped. And it was kind of like Superman.
Did he have the Chrome version?
I don't care at this point.
Did you offer to shoot the phone for him at that point? All right, let's go. Let's go do it.
I say to him, you don't... There's no such thing as a terabyte iPhone. He's like, yeah, there is. And I'm like, all right, this is one of those moments where I relived, in that moment, second grade. And I told him, Apple does not make a terabyte version. I am willing to bet my nuts on this. And he's like, T-Mobile offered me a terabyte. I'm like, they don't make it. Like, yeah. I suppose if you really wanted to, you can pop the thing open and replace the hard drive. But no, it's just, no, there is no terabyte iPhone. I would have known about this.
You know what it was? It was eight iPhones strapped together.
I wouldn't be surprised. But then I sat for a moment. I'm like, are you talking about cloud storage? Yeah. That's not the same as hardware, is it now? No, I guess not. But they offered it to me. I'm like, I'm sure they would have taken a lot of money from you if they wanted to. At that point, I just got up and walked away because I really couldn't handle it. But it just struck me as how stupid everybody is with a lot of these devices. And to Apple's credit, they do their best to educate people on iPhones in general, iPhone technology. And the problem is that you buy them from a carrier and they're going to basically try to bend you over and milk all that's worth in you. Milk it. And apparently it's working because he's willing to shoot his iPhone and get a new one.
Oh, yeah. Hey, can I railroad the conversation real
quick? And yes, James, yeah, I couldn't give him my nuts because I would have to get them back from the jar that my wife keeps in. So you are absolutely correct. It was but it was a bet that I was pretty sure I was going to win. And Greg also mentions it's a small bet, isn't it? Zing and zing. I love the chat room.
I forgot to turn them on, so.
My ball's on? No, that's not your job.
Whoa. Let's keep clean. No, I wanted to railroad this just a little bit and.
The conversation's done. I just have to share that story. There's nowhere else I could go that wouldn't involve de-evolution.
Yeah. I don't know if we've talked about this on the show before, but do you guys use cloud storage to keep your photos safe?
I use some cloud storage. I have. I did foolishly buy the one that Apple has. I think I pay $3 a month for 200 gigs, I think it is.
That's not bad.
Yeah, it's not bad. But I'm paying $3 for, I don't know. It just still, come on, they still make a 16 gig phone. That still bucks me. I just can't get past that.
Yeah. What about you, Matt?
What was the question again?
Yeah. Do you use a cloud backup?
I'm going to go with no on that. I don't think so.
Oh, okay. Do you use any type of backup, or do you just keep it all on your computer?
No, I have things backed up to an external hard drive.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, it's not as good of a backup situation as it should be. Yeah. You know, if my house burns down, I'll still lose everything, but...
Right.
Dave makes a good point saying Google Photos, lower quality, but it's unlimited. And to be honest, their quality is actually pretty good. Their low quality isn't exactly that low. They use... well, here's the thing. They don't use a JPEG format. They're using their proprietary format that takes up less space but retains the same quality as the higher file size JPEG. So it's not a bad switch. And to be honest with you, for me personally, I think that might be the way I go, because I'm already using Google Photos, and Apple is it's okay. I'll keep it for my wife. But I don't think I'll be using it, because I could just download them to my computer, back them up to external drive like I already do, and then just have some on Google Photos. And even Amazon offers free if you're Amazon Prime. So there's a ton of places where I can save my photos.
Yeah. What about you, Maud?
I do something very similar to what Matt does. I don't use the cloud storage. I put them all onto my computer and then back them up from there onto external drives. And like Matt, it's not as good as it should be. I've got this big plan of duplicating my external drives and putting them outside the house over at my sister-in-law's, and I just never have.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, the only reason why I say is that I know there's a lot of people out there that never remove their images from their iPhone. They get the biggest hard drive storage space on the phones and then don't even bother to move them. And, you know, if you break your phone, if you if it's stolen or you lose it, all that is gone, except for the stuff you probably put up on Instagram or on Facebook. But
yeah, I know a lot of people who operate it like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I use Carbonite. And, you know, even though Mark gives me a hard time about getting the 16 gig iPhone, I'm constantly
you have to use Carbonite.
Well, yeah, I'm constantly taking the photos off of my phone and putting it on my computer, and the computer automatically will upload those to the cloud. But it's, you know, I think it's healthy to be able to keep removing your images from your phone in order to keep them safe, because, you know, for some reason, my phone may slip out of my pocket and fall into the bathtub while I'm giving the kids a bath, or, if you forget that it's in your pocket and you're out on the Lake Erie, you know, that could be kind of brutal. I think it's good for people to be able to think about. And
it's
the reason why
it's good to bring into the kind of common knowledge sense of people that just because it's in one spot is not make it safe. Like just the process of backing up, however you do it, whether it's on your computer, onto external drive, into the cloud, just getting into that kind of common thought of back up your digital stuff if you don't want to lose it.
Yeah.
Don't trust your device.
Yeah. One reason why I got Carbonite, and this was years ago, was I had a catastrophic hard drive failure. And thankfully, a majority of my images had previously been on CDs or external hard drives. But I did lose images that I'm never getting back. And after that happening, I'm like, you know what, that's never happening again. And so that's when I started getting into the cloud. And that was before cloud became, you know, this big deal. Now it's cheaper, and I think I pay, oh gosh, is it $50 a year?
$50 a year? That's not
no. Bad. Yeah.
How much space do you get?
I've got about 90 gig up. Yeah.
Do you pay for how much space you use, or do you have
They amount? Haven't told me to stop. Let's just say that. and to be honest, I need to go through my computer and take the backlogged images and get them off and put them in the firebox, pretty much, and free up space on my computer. But when I do that, then that's when it will come off the off of the cloud. But it's still, you know, I've had computers fail, and when I got the new one, it took weeks, but all the images went right back onto the computer, automagically. But they were there, they were safe, and you know, it happens. So, you know, probably it
happens more than you might expect.
Yes. So I would say, you know, if you're listening to this, look into a solution to get your images backed up. And if anything, get them off of your phone. If they've been on there for, say, a year, they need to come off. You know, if I try to do it monthly, but, you know, I know there's a lot of people out there carrying them around. So
my parents, but they don't have smartphones, but with their point and shoot camera. My father works is he has a memory card, and when it's filled up, he puts it in a little sleeve and buys a new memory card. When it fills up, he takes it out of the camera, puts it in the sleeve, buys a new memory card. So he's got a whole sleeve of like these little memory cards that are full of pictures, and that's where they live, on the memory card.
Wow.
Right on.
That is one way of doing it, but I think too, what happens when we get to a point where those memory cards are no longer readable.
That's going to take a while.
Yeah, it might take a while, but we'll eventually get there.
The flip side of it all, do you ever look at it kind of comparing to the film days where you printed typically one copy of everything on it? Maybe sometimes you got doubles, but one or two pictures for every shot that you took, and you have the negatives. And they go into a box.
In sleeves and then into a
box. Some of them go into albums, right? Some of them go into just, you know, all the not great ones go into a box someplace in the bottom of a closet or under a bed or something like that. But you don't have so much of a backup. You keep the negatives around, and if you ever need to, you can reprint them. I suppose. But I know I look at it a little bit like with the digital, it's just so easy to blow up and go from I've got a couple of gigs to suddenly I've got, you know, terabytes and terabytes of photos sitting around that honestly, how often are you gonna go look through? You get to the point where you have so many thousands and thousands of pictures. What are the odds that you're actually gonna go back and scroll through some of these and look through and do anything with them? Right. You're paying a monthly fee to store zeros and ones up in the cloud that you quite honestly may never actually look at again.
I have...
Not that I'm saying you shouldn't. I'm just saying, like, that's just playing the opposite hand of things a little bit.
Well, I mean, Apple's file management with their photos is supposed to alleviate all of that. They're basically, if you're not using the photos, all it does is... Yeah, it removes it, stores it in the cloud as long as you have the appropriate space.
Right.
Anyway, but it only leaves a small thumbnail, and when you need the photo, you grab it.
I kind of like that.
I like it too. Sorta. I like it too, but anyways. Oh, sorry, I just bumped my microphone. I like it too, but I'm looking at my storage, and I have 19 gigs worth of photos in my library. Yeah. And it's like, that's not storing it, is it?
No.
What do we got in the chat room? Greg in the chat room says that he's using Carbonite as well. And James in the chat room says he uses external drives as well as Google Photo.
Nobody out there going Dropbox or Box.com? Everybody's Carbonite? And then interesting.
Oh, Carbonite offers $50 a year. That's not bad.
That is. It's a great price. I actually know somebody that used to work at Carbonite.
Greg yeah. says, I have 50 gigs with Box. Is that Dropbox, Greg?
No, Box.
There's Box. What's and there's Box? Dropbox. There's
it's like just, Dropbox.
It's just oh, like okay. Dropbox, yeah.
But yeah, Box.com offered 50 gigs for free. Which is pretty good. Yeah, I have 50 gigs with them as well. I just don't use them.
I think I got it the same time when you got it, and I don't think I've used it. I actually use Dropbox a little bit, though. What I do like about the cloud, I've actually started using a little bit more late, largely for work, but I like that you have a spot up there that anybody's connected to the internet. You want to share a picture or even a whole folder of pictures to them. If you've got it in a cloud storage, you just get a link for that folder and send it to them. Here, you can look at this.
A URL, yeah.
Yeah. That is actually, I think, the best aspect of the cloud. I mean, yeah, they're doing all sorts of backup, and they're backed up the wazoo, you know, with duplication and all that stuff. But I think the ability to share photos and whole directories of photos at a time is probably one of the neatest aspects of the cloud.
I think I'm going to look into Box because I think that I don't want to keep all my eggs in one basket because if a company were to, say, shut down, you know, what are the guarantees that you'll get any of those photos back? You know, granted, Carbonite, I already have all those photos right here. But
I don't think you have to worry about that too much. And if you were going to worry about that, Carbonite's got a longer standing history. They've been around longer. They've got more business aspects out there than Box or Dropbox, which are more recent startups with kind of one business plan in sight. Like Carbonite's got some more models in place, so they're more likely of the three to stay, have the longevity.
Yeah. Right on. So in other news...
Yeah, sorry about the train wreck. No, I'm just kidding. Go for it.
Other news, something that is... I don't know, this struck me as awesome. Apple has announced that they are refreshing their iPod Touch lineup. They basically upgraded their processors to the A8 chip. They have 8-megapixel camera instead of the 5-megapixel camera.
Sweet.
New colors. Yay, because we were all interested in that. And, they have the 32 gig, the 64 gig, and 128 gig options.
Wait. No 16 gig option?
No 16 gig options, because Apple is a cruel, cruel bitch sometimes.
Is that like the first model anything they've had that doesn't have a 16 gig option?
I'm sorry. It was an option. What is it? iMore is reporting that they have a 16 gig option.
Of course.
Hmm.
They're still a cruel bridge sometimes.
Now, is this on apple.com that we can look up or not yet? Is this all rumors?
No. They made a press release on this.
Oh, okay.
So iPod Touch lives yet another few years. And this is cool, because if you don't want to pay the cell phone costs and the data charges...
Absolutely.
This is a great way to get into the ecosystem without having to spend an arm and a leg.
Well, I know a lot of people that don't want a smartphone. They love their feature phones, and you know they don't want to pay for data. I guess that's one reason why they don't get them. This is a great way of getting into quote unquote iPhone photography, especially you know because all the iPhones right now have the 8 megapixel cameras.
Yeah.
Is that right? Yeah.
They're all 8. Where did that start? Is that iPhone 5 or iPhone 6 that start with 8?
iPhone.
Did it start back as 4?
I don't remember.
It's a 4 or the 4S. I think the 4S was the 8. And then every, you know, they kept saying, oh, is this, are we going to get more megapixels? Nope, never happens. It's just they do, you know, they improve the quality instead of increasing the megapixels. Right. So I think, you know, if you want to get into iPhone photography, this is a great way of doing it.
And more importantly, Greg points out the A8 chip started in the 6. So this basically brings it totally up to speed, literally. It has a sweet, fast processor. Yeah, you're basically going to fly with this thing.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And then finally, we have the photo editing app Enlight, which is now available on the iPad.
Yeah.
And this is something that you use still heavily, Matt, right?
I would have to say that it's probably my most used app right now.
Nice.
It's definitely usurped Snapseed.
Wow.
Yeah. I haven't put it on the iPad yet. I did see yesterday when I updated it on the iPhone that it was available for the iPad, but I hardly ever mess around with my iPad, but maybe this will change things. I don't know. I'll give it a go probably after we're done recording here.
Yeah, it's something that I haven't been able to get to until later today, but just doing a quick once over, it's pretty sharp. It's pretty quick, and I'm doing this on my iPad mini, first gen.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have Enlight. I haven't used it that much lately, but it surprisingly, it's on my phone. I think having the larger real estate is probably going to be good for some of those features. It's like Snapseed has the dodge and burn options now, and having a much larger screen will probably make that feature more valuable. So whatever these apps, whether it's Enlight or any of the other ones, can put it on. If they're not utilizing the iPad, they're probably missing out on a lot of people being able to use their apps.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
Yeah, all right. This is all pretty sharp. I'm still playing with it. It's like you said, it's just like using the iPhone version, except a lot more real estate, a lot more options to really view the detail. It's really good.
Cool.
Right on.
All right. Do we want to go ahead and move into post pick of the week?
Let us do so.
Sweet.
And why is this not working? I am having trouble with my soundboard. I apologize.
Oh, that's all right.
Yep, my soundboard is dead.
Oh, okay.
Let's, 3, 2, 1. Post pick of the week. Yay! There we go.
Yay! All right. All right. This week, I have chosen an image of... It looks like the dome of an old courthouse. That's what JBennett727 posted. It's a courthouse. It has two or three American flags hanging from the dome on the inside.
Hey, I got it working.
Oh.
I have no idea what went wrong. Let me try that again. All right, we're good.
I thought I was looking through some sort of a portal, but he was looking straight up, and it has an interesting effect to it. But I love the colors, and it's sort of mesmerizing. But what do you say?
I say I was trying to get my
soundboard going.
So I will take your word for it.
All right. Well, congratulations, JBennett727, on Post Pick of the Week. It's a pretty cool image. If you want to be featured as Post Pick of the Week, go on to Instagram and use the hashtag TinyShutter, and you will join a lot of other images throughout these years. And each week, we go through and choose an image. We alternate. This week was my week, and so each one of us have different tastes and all that. But it's a great way to not only see what other people are doing, but also to... sort of promote on the show our listeners and showcase what they're doing. We use the images as show art for each episode, and it's a way for us to say, looks great, keep it going. And so join us and use the hashtag TinyShutter. All right.
Yay.
Well, does anybody else have anything to bring up?
Yes, I would like to bring up the fact that Maude Byrne, Shannon Guy, and I will be resurrecting the Meatloaf podcast.
Whoa.
What? I thought it was the Lens Wipe. Yes, Lens Wipe is a podcast that we're doing here and there, but we had so much fun making fun of photography that we said, you know what? Let's make fun of the rest of the world.
Yeah.
And so we're going to do this. And the timing couldn't be more perfect, because the last time we did the Meatloaf, episode 3 was 3 years ago, where Disney had just purchased Lucasfilm. And I usually encourage people never to listen to old episodes, but this one is different. It's kind of taking a step back into like all the BS that we were hearing around that time, and we made so many stupid predictions. It was great. Like, all right, here's the big one that we totally botched. We said that of all the directors to direct episode 7, it was not going to be J.J. Abrams. Because at that time, J.J. Abrams himself, I believe, said that he can't, because he's going to be doing the next Star Trek movie, and it would just be impossible for him to do it. Little did we know, Star Trek 2, Star Trek Harder, basically was his test footage to do Star Wars.
Oh.
And it was good stuff. So here's a little...
Ma, the meatloaf!
There we go. so we're going to bring that back. this is something that really want to sink my teeth into. Photography is great fun, but I have to speak for Mod because he is unavailable at the moment. His family, I just got a text message from him saying that his family needs him. We are huge geeks of, I guess it's pop culture now, but we love the comic book world. We love the, we love watching movies of all kinds, action, drama. Mod's back. Mod, you could speak now. I just mentioned that we're bringing back the meatloaf. We are just huge fans of just geekdom. And yes, we will be entering an overly saturated market already. Yes, everybody and their uncle does a geek show. But we look at this oversaturated market and say, us too. So we're getting into it. This next episode, I wanted to originally bring back the people from episode 3 that we did, but unfortunately Keith Tharp, he's a friend of the show, he will not be able to make it because he's on assignment in Acadia, or he's on vacation, one of those two. But we're bringing back Siska for that episode, and we're just going to take a dive into memory lane and laugh at all the stupid stuff we said, as opposed to the stupid stuff we say on this show. And you know, we'll have some good fun, but this is something that we definitely want to do. I want to really sink my teeth into it creatively, kind of like what we do with the meatloaf. We have fake photography commercials. I want to do more fake commercials. I want to, like, one of the projects I have is the committee meeting on what would happen if an independent consulting group wanted to sell the idea of helicarriers to SHIELD. Joe, I think I did the entire conversation with you.
Yes.
Over the phone, just kind of giving it how I think it would have gone. So yeah, things like that. We totally want to have fun with it. You can check it out on iTunes, Stitcher. Just do a search for The Meatloaf or The Meatloaf Podcast. Go to themeatloaf.net, and that's where our site is. Right now it's extremely sparse. We literally have 3 episodes. It was started as simply just a filler between other things that we were doing. I can't even remember that far back. I mean, it was 2012. The world was going to end. Give us a break. But today, listening to it, it just brought back so many memories. So tune into it. We're going to be recording it on Wednesday nights. We'll probably still use the Tiny Shutter feed for the live chat. I'll fill you guys more in on it. I'll probably make a Twitter feed for it. I'll make a Facebook page for it. You know, I'll keep everybody posted. But, you know, tune into us right now, and we'll keep you guys posted. And hopefully have some good fun.
Yeah.
But I spoke too much, Mod. Do you want to add anything?
The meatloaf.
There you go.
I was about to go the rest of the quote, but yeah.
Wiser words were never spoken.
I try, you know.
There we go.
Oh, that's cool.
I would sum it up by saying, and I think we summed it up by saying when we first started it, is it's if you like when we go on tangent, non-photography related tangents in any of our photography podcasts, well, that's basically what the meatloaf is. It's all that other stuff we talk about that's not necessarily photography-centric.
Yes. That's actually exactly what it is. It just so happens the rest of the world is the same thing.
I don't think that's bad. It's you know what? The whole point is just to have fun.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, cool.
Right on.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and let's wrap this up.
Right on.
Just having said that, I had this, as soon as you say that, let's wrap this up, I was expecting you to say, let's call it a show. But you didn't. You broke from routine. So you threw me off a little bit there. But when you said, let's wrap it up, the first thing that jumped into my head was, Mark needs, and I could hear it in my head, Mark needs a sound bite for wrapping paper. Sorry.
Oh, it was funny. Good in my head. For you.
Maud, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you?
You can find me on Instagram, Maud Burn.
Very good. Matthew, tell everybody where they can find you.
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at mhoffmanphoto.
Mark.
I am that Polish photographer on Instagram, and go to themeatloaf.net.
Awesome. And I'm Joseph Ferreira on Instagram. And you can find other things like the chat room, the live audio, the Facebooks, if you go to tinyshutter.com. And, oh, I wanted to mention something. I had totally forgotten to put in a link, and we had...
I know what you wanted to mention.
I like you. You have balls. I like balls.
There we go. I'm practicing.
That's right. Okay. Frank had sent us a message on tinyshutter.com and said, link to Nat Geo iPhone article. And I had totally forgotten, so I'm going to fix that. But if you have a question or you want to mention anything, you can go onto the episodes and leave a comment. Go to iTunes. And leave us a 5-star review. We need more 5-star reviews because it helps people find our show. And, you know, we want to gather as many people as we can, as every other organization does, right? No. But go on there and leave us a review. Ask us questions. Participate. Go on to Facebook and showcase your work. If you have questions, ask. There's a lot of people in there who are really good at photography, and you know, they may, you know, you say, oh, is there an app that does this? And you know, they're real quick to answer and help out. So join our community. We would love to have you. So
James in the chat. James in the chat says, 5-star reviews to do better shows. Well, we will. Give us the 5 stars first.
I think James is our resident pessimist. So
he's all good. He's all good. He keeps me on my toes.
Awesome. You get to, yeah. If you come to the chat room, you get to see all the shenanigans that happen. So God. It's all fun. Sometimes, like, don't look at the chat room. Don't look at the chat room.
I can't help it. It's so funny.
It's like driving past a wreck. You can't take your eyes off of it.
No. We're the wreck.
Oh, that's awesome. Right. All right, Mark, why don't you lead us out of here?
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Right on. All right, see you guys next week.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, head over to iTunes and leave us a review and a 5-star rating. See you next week.
Ma, the meatloaf!
It's foreshadowing, boys.